You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, we'll turn away from politics, at least for the moment. You know we'll always be attracted back there from time to time. It's just so darn interesting in Canada and in Toronto. I'd like to talk to you about a new report just out today, issued by the Alzheimer's Society of Canada. The name of the report is A New Way of Looking at the Impact of Dementia in Canada. And to share with us some new and larger numbers about the incidence of Alzheimer's disease in Canada, we have on the line Naguib Gowda, who is the CEO of the Alzheimer's Society of Canada. Naguib Gowda, thanks very much for being here.
Good morning, Dale. It's always good to talk to you.
What is the main thrust of this report just out today?
I would say the main thrust would be that although dementia is often viewed as tomorrow's problem, we need to act on it now. The new data confirms the number of Canadians with dementia continues to rise sharply and is going to double in the next 20 years.
But even the numbers suggested in this report now is a fairly hefty increase from the last time we looked at that number of those suffering from dementia in Canada.
The numbers have been refreshed. The numbers are even scarier than last time. There's no question. There's an alarming shift in demographics. A rapidly aging population, it all reflects. Although age remains the single largest risk factor for Alzheimer's disease and other dementia, that really points to the sharp growth in the number of Canadians with the disease, particularly those for people over the age of 65.
I'm just boiling it down to some numbers now.
Yep.
I've often referred to the 500,000 people currently fighting the effects of Alzheimer's disease and related dementias. That figure now is redefined as 747,000. That is
correct.
A substantial jump.
That is the number of Canadians that are living with cognitive impairment, including dementia. And as you know, cognitive impairment frequently develops into more degenerative forms. So this number represents almost 15% of Canadians 65 years of age and older. And we expect that number to increase now to 1.4 million by 2031.
Every time we look at these numbers, they grow. They are growing everywhere, not just in Canada.
Absolutely, Dale. The numbers grow. The economic impact grows. The effect on caregiver grows. It's all there. You've got the report. The combined direct and indirect costs of dementia right now are totaling $33 billion a year in terms of medical being the direct, lost earnings being indirect, and that figure is going to skyrocket to $293 billion per year by 2040.
Just in this country alone.
In this country alone, and dollars are one way to look at it.
Yeah.
The other way to look at it is the effect on caregivers. The numbers that we have just published show that in 2011, family caregivers spent in excess of 444 million unpaid hours looking after someone with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
That's about $11 billion in lost income. That number is going to go up to 1.2 billion. Unpaid hours by 2040. So it's dollars, it's the effect on caregivers, and not just the effect in terms of their lost income, but also the effect it has on their health. And you and I have talked about that before.
And we're not ready for this. We, the country, we're not ready for this to happen.
No, this new data validates our urgent need for a national dementia plan to help reduce the burden of dementia and to support more people with the disease across Canada. And we need healthcare providers, politicians, and policymakers to focus on this.
Well, we hear politicians offer lip service, that's my description for it anyway, about this from time to time. But in terms of pragmatic action, only a few countries around the world actually have had their governments initiate a real strategic plan to focus in on Alzheimer's disease and other dementias.
Well, increasingly, the G8 countries, such as the U.S., the United Kingdom, and France, have committed or developed national dementia plans in their country. Norway, Korea, the Netherlands, Finland, Australia, Denmark also have comprehensive plans, and we trail all of those countries.
What's holding us back? What's going on?
I've said this before, I'll say it again. We need action. We need a champion. And I am speaking as often as I can to those who can make that happen. And I appreciate being able to speak to you today, because the more voices we get to Ottawa, the louder we get, the more they'll listen. And this study is intended to do just that, to raise the alarm button, so to speak, in terms of the urgency of this.
This is probably a good time for me to mention my conflict. It's the only one I've got, so I'm kind of proud of it. I am a former past volunteer president of the Alzheimer's Society of Canada. I serve on the Canadian board, and I also serve on the international board, so I think you know where my head and heart are when it comes to these kinds of discussions. Do you think that even, Naguib, with all of the information that is out there from many, many sources, from the new book that just came out of Baycrest a few weeks ago, defining and trying to enumerate the people with mild cognitive impairment, the gateway for many people into Alzheimer's disease, with all of this information flowing around, people still don't seem to be taking the disease seriously.
Right.
Is that a fair statement?
It's a fair statement, and I think the very first words I said a couple of minutes ago were it is often viewed as tomorrow's problem. And I think that what we are definitely trying to say today is that tomorrow is here. It's no longer tomorrow's problem. We know we need to achieve change, that's why I'm talking to you today. That's why we've put the press release out.
And, of course, as Alzheimer's disease associations and societies around the world will say with the same kind of voice, it's a unique situation for us in this particular charity, in as much as we ride two horses, in effect, help for today and a little bit of hope for tomorrow.
Absolutely. It's all about what we can do to support people living with the disease, as well as caregivers and their families, through programs and services, and that's what we do at the society. But it's also about research and research funding, so we can find a cause and a cure for this disease. So we speak about the government, but we need everybody to recognize the severity and the scope of dementia, and that includes healthcare providers, researchers, policymakers, and decision makers.
It takes a whole huge crew, does it not?
The federal government needs to take the lead on this initiative and to work in concert with everybody, but it takes a whole huge crew.
You've had some discussions on a number of occasions with our health minister federally, Leona Glucka.
Yes.
Are you of a positive mindset about some of the discussions you've had in terms of getting someday that national strategy?
I am of a positive mindset. I'm hoping, I most recently saw the minister in Yellowknife. We spoke about that, you and I, quite recently, when the Canadian Medical Association endorsed unanimously a national dementia plan. And at that point, the minister invited me back to Ottawa this fall, so hopefully in October, to go and sit down with her and her staff again and continue our discussions. I am hopeful.
Does the Canadian Mental Health Commission and its work and its research, is that assisting the Alzheimer movement, do you think? Is it work of a similar nature that helps make us more aware of some of the problems?
Absolutely. I mean, it's broader, obviously, and the reason we worked with them and then commissioned this part of the study on our own is because we wanted to focus on dementia and Alzheimer's. This is all about also taking the stigma away and getting the conversations around many, many tables across this country. And
well,
I'm very happy with what the Mental Health Commission of Canada has done.
And in fact, you just pressed another button for me, the Alzheimer's Disease International. We have issued a report, a study of that stigma situation. I found the results to be, I thought somewhat horrifying that in 2012, this stigma about Alzheimer's disease still exists.
You'll be hearing a whole lot about that from us in the coming months, Dale.
But yet, because is it not a bit of an anachronism that there is that stigma in 2012 in these so-called enlightened times?
It is, but that has happened with many other diseases over time, and it takes voices like ours, people like you, to take that away and to begin the conversation.
Well, I think it certainly means that at least in the bottom line, that more and more people have to be engaged in this kind of conversation. Alzheimer's disease has always been thought of as a closed-door kind of illness. The stigma report from ADI shows that people with the disease and their caregivers tend to retreat from society, are not involved in social events, and all kinds of other things that just makes the disease worse than it really is.
Absolutely, absolutely. But we're going to get there, and we have made progress. We've tabled several motions and private members' bills and petitions in the House of Commons calling for more resources for this disease. We've testified in front of the House of Commons Committee on Public Policy Issues. We provided input to Senate committees in terms of the review of the Canada Health Accord. I mentioned, of course, the CMA, the Canadian Medical Association.
Yeah.
So, it's about every one of those things, not on its own, but together.
I'm talking to Naguib Gowda. He is the CEO of the Alzheimer's Society of Canada. We're talking about a brand new report just released by the society today called A New Way of Looking at the Impact of Dementia in Canada. If you have some comments or some questions, give us a call. Here are the numbers, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
My guest is Naguib Gowda, the CEO of the Alzheimer's Society of Canada. Naguib, our lines are full here. Shall we take some of these calls?
Absolutely.
All right. Here's Miriam on her cell phone. Miriam, do you have a question or a comment about this?
Hello. Good morning. Yes. Can you hear me all right?
Hear you fine.
Wonderful. I have a comment. I would like to... I find it very interesting and yet also sad that there's no emphasis on prevention of dementia, which of course will help prevent Alzheimer's, because there's lots and lots of information out there what we can do to prevent the disease.
Oh, for sure. We talk about that all the time here.
I just quickly heard your information just a little while ago, and I think we should change our strategy and see how much we can prevent this disease, because it is preventable. Fluoride, I know for a fact, is cumulative. There's information out there that impedes.
There's no credible information out there I've ever seen that says fluoride has any role to play in this at all.
Dale, if I could jump in, there are certainly ways to reduce the risk, and promoting a healthy mind and physical fitness and all those things is so important. We talked about that this past January. Your caller is absolutely right. There are ways to reduce risk. I would not use the word prevention, but I would certainly use the word risk reduction for sure.
I agree, because certainly in all my years of being around some of the best minds dealing with this situation for a lot of years now, no matter what you do, the risk is still there. You can lessen the risk. One cannot prevent Alzheimer's disease.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and we talked about research before your break, and I mentioned that we're looking at hoping to find both the cause and the cure. Right now, the best we can do is to reduce risk.
Mm-hmm.
There
are some meaningful things you can do to reduce
absolutely.
That risk, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everything from weight loss to reducing your blood pressure to exercising to keeping your mind active, all of those things are vitally important.
Here's Margaret on the line from Toronto. What are your thoughts, Margaret?
Oh, good morning, Dale.
Morning.
My concern is that the province of Ontario is not doing enough for this in providing long-term care beds for these people. And my father had Alzheimer's disease for about 15 years. And people will say, oh, well, you know, we'll keep them at home. Well, you get to a point where they can't be kept at home, many of them. And the province, I mean, the waiting list for these homes sometimes is 3 and 4 years. That's that's unacceptable. So we need, you know, the province needs to really get on board and start to provide the spaces for these people, and they're not doing that, and they are woefully underfunding long-term care homes, and it's very hard in those homes to even get the care for these poor people that's needed.
Nagib, I think it's fair to say all provinces need to up their game there, don't you think?
Dale, absolutely. And as I talk about the need for a national dementia plan, one of the five points of action as part of that plan is to strengthen the integration of primary home and community care. The system's bursting at the seams, and this is only 2012. Margaret and the other callers have heard the statistics, and if we think it's a problem now, I dread what will happen in 20 years if we don't start fixing these problems now.
How goes, from your point of view and from what you hear and the people you're talking to and the reports that you read, how goes the battle to find the cure? What can you tell us there?
There's a lot of hope. You know, I've heard 5-7 years down the road, there are constant trials being done, and researchers they learn from one another. But we're not there yet. And this research, although we have some of the best researchers in the world right here in our country, and we're so underfunded, this research is happening across the globe. And certainly when I see the research community globally coming together as we did in Vancouver this past summer, it gives a lot of hope in terms of the future.
It would be the kind of situation, and I've read some of that, some of those papers too, some of the things that have been in clinical trials that looked hopeful and now aren't that hopeful. But the idea being that there would be something, something that could be administered to someone that would prevent, set back Alzheimer's disease totally on its ears, and even allow the human brain in some cases, and this almost sounds like science fiction, that somehow it would recover at least slightly some of the cognition it had lost earlier.
I'm certainly not the expert, not the person to.
No, I'm not either, but I'm excited by this stuff.
What I will say is that all research, even research that eventually you know, leads to a situation where the trial did not work out, we learn from those, and with every trial, with every bit of research, everybody in the research community learns from that, and they build on it, and that's how we will eventually find the cause and the cure, and, you know, that's how advances are being made in the world of heart disease or cancer or AIDS, et cetera. That's how it works. More money to research, more answers, a more hopeful future.
Here's Lou on the line from Buffalo. What are your thoughts, Lou?
Hi. There has been some breakthrough in research on this in the last 2 years. Harvard Medical School came out with a paper how they treated two people with dementia and brought back their cognitive functions within a couple of months. And anybody can go to the internet and find that paper, which they'll find more than interesting.
Two people? Well, I don't think two people makes a trend yet, but
that's why we have to do a study, because there's enough information there to do a clinical study.
Yeah, yeah.
And in my own practice, I was treating a stroke patient.
You're a doctor?
I'm a therapist.
Okay.
And I was shocked to find out that the parents who were overseeing this process said, you know, she's speaking in full sentences now, and her memory is coming back.
Yeah.
So that is research that we're talking about starting here in Buffalo immediately.
Well, is
Harvard also was interested in that.
Was this involving people who had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease?
Over at Harvard, I believe it was. It might have been a result of TBI, because my work is also with traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
Making great strides with traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, yeah. Lou, thanks very much for that input. Yeah, there is a lot going on, Nagib, all over the place. And brain injury early in your life, in fact, has always thought to be connected to Alzheimer's disease in later life, right? That's pretty standard information now.
Another risk factor.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
The number one risk factor remains age, and that's why with the baby boomer bulge well upon us, dementia is becoming so common, and we can no longer afford to ignore it.
What can listeners do to try and help the process here? Join the fight, as it were, to look for better ways to look after those with the disease in psychosocial research, or better research for the biomedical end, you know, the cure if
it's
out there. What can they do?
Well, the Alzheimer's Society is working hard to press governments at all levels, as I said, in terms of a national response. But in terms of what people can do, what most Canadians can do, be about writing, calling, meeting your MP or your MPP, starting a petition, acting as a spokesperson for your local Alzheimer's Society at local events, telling us about your experience with the disease. Visit our website, and let's keep that conversation going.
I like the stories that are told back and forth. That's always been something that's helped keep me going as a volunteer in this organization. You get to trade stories about a family member who was afflicted with the disease, and what the stories do is they help us all realize we're hardly alone in this.
Absolutely.
You know? Let's get one last call on here. Here's Clay calling from Ajax. Clay, do you have a comment or a question?
I do, Dale. How are you?
Not so bad.
My mother was a victim of Alzheimer's, and she was in a beautiful home in Barrie Woods Park, thank God.
Oh, that's good.
That caller earlier was saying about we need more homes than that, eh? Dale, what do you think Mr. McGinty's take would be on funding homes for people with dementia?
Well, when I get him on the line, if I ever get him in front of a microphone again after these many years, I'd ask him, Clay.
He never called you back yesterday?
No. I thought maybe the line had been busy, and I checked. There were no messages. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, I can imagine where his thing would be for dementia patients that aren't allowed to vote unless they were fortunate, like that senator in Ottawa.
Oh, you're talking, yes, I know the case you're talking about. Clay, thank you very much. Getting to the politicians who make the decisions and who lead governments is certainly very important, isn't it, Naguib?
It is. It goes back to my previous point, write, call, meet, petition. Do whatever you can, get your voices out there.
Naguib, thanks very much.
Dale, thank you as always.
Is this report now detailed on the website?
It is.
All right. Thanks very much. I'll send people there. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Dale.
All right. Naguib Gouda is the CEO of the Alzheimer's Society of Canada. If you put the official web address is alzheimer.ca, but if you put Alzheimer's Society of Canada in Google, it will pop up. And you can look at that report and see for yourself these growing numbers, growing even faster. And this has been the problem for the last few years, even faster than had been anticipated in earlier years, to the point where the ability to look after those with the disease, the ability even to house them somewhere, will almost be beyond the financial capabilities of any government, including our own. It's a serious problem, and I'm just worried that we're going to realize that. Governments will realize it much too late.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.